day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out and the church was birthed. And so this message this morning isn't geared or centered on that great occasion, but it's simply, or it is very much included in the message. Because one of the key principles, if not the very foundation, of having a godly home is having a Spirit-filled home. So just keep that in mind as we get ready to move into our message here. This morning's message, we'll be looking at walking in harmony, along with our theme of walking or living out our lives. And the title of the sermon is The Spirit-Filled Home, A Taste of Heaven on Earth. Now, that will be a thought that I would like us to hold on to as we continue into the message. But this is really a continuation of application of knowing who we are in Christ, knowing what our inheritance is in Christ, living out a life that has been raised with Christ, a new life, born again, Spirit-filled life, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of thankfulness, a life of hope, all of these things that come with that relationship with Christ. It's also a submissive life. And that will be where we will springboard off into the scripture. But I want us to understand that a submissive life is a life lived under the sovereign rule and lordship of Jesus Christ. So here we go. Let's stand at the reading of God's word this morning. You know, it's interesting, just a note to that, because I've mentioned this before. The subheadings or titles in our scripture, as the chapters are broken down, obviously were not in the original text. They're not part of the inspired text. And they were put there to help direct us and guide us through the scripture. But they're not always exactly in the right place. You know, and so as we make this transition into the next part of our walking in harmony, we jump into what appears to be the middle of a chapter. But guys, those numbers weren't there. When these people were writing this, they didn't write down verse 18. Okay? So let's just jump in for our reference purposes to verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now let me pause, because in most of our scriptures, there's a break there. But again, let me back up and read what we just read with a continuation into the rest of the text. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present to the church to himself, in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband's children. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters and fear with fear and trembling, with sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same thing and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. I hope that through this reading we have seen the continuation and continuity of thought and teaching. Father, help us to grasp the realities of these words. The reality, Father, that transforms our lives. Father, these words are encouragement. They're edifying. They're words to be honored, words to be obeyed. And Father, it's all because you loved us and you have a perfect plan for us. May we be diligent, Father, in our obedience to your ways and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So we've got some ground to cover here this morning, but hopefully the Lord will organize it in such a way that it will flow as it should. The life that we are about to examine must have two essential qualities. Number one, it must be a life that is filled with the Spirit of God. And that's what our text emphasizes back in verse 18 of chapter 5. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul uses this illustration as a way of communicating, be controlled by. Be controlled by. Now, unfortunately, and I mean this seriously and sadly, I know what it's like to be controlled by a substance. I also know what it's like to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And I assure you, I prefer the Spirit of God. Amen? Besides that, I wake up in the mornings feeling a whole lot better. Hallelujah. But you must be filled with the Spirit of God and you must be controlled by the Word of God. These are the two driving principles in this text. The world has hijacked our Christian faith, brothers and sisters. And the church has bought the compromise that we must adjust our belief, adjust our behavior, adjust our message just a little bit so that, number one, nobody is offended. Well, let me tell you something. The cross of Jesus Christ offends you. It should. And it offends the world. So do we quit preaching the cross of Christ? No. But brothers, we will, and sisters, we must do it out of love. This is going to be a direct message. But please understand, we will speak the truth in love. Why has the world hijacked the message? Why has there been so great a push, especially in recent years, to compromise the message? Because God said it. And the world is at war with God. It's biblical. And I am bound to preach and teach that which is biblical and maybe not socially acceptable or politically correct. Amen. Key verse, and don't move forward until we get this. Verses 18 through 21, third time we've read it. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You cannot go to verse 22 until 21 is obeyed. It will never work until we're in line with verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Husbands, don't ask your wife to be submissive to you. Point number one, the home is a taste of heaven when a godly wife understands biblical submission. Please understand, emphasize, underline biblical submission, because it is not the same as the world would interpret submission. Two reasons for this command: the lordship of Christ and the headship of man in Christ. The wife submitting first to Christ and allow him to be the Lord of her life, and then looking at her husband as the Christ figure in the home, the headship, the spiritual leadership. And headship is not dictatorship. It's leading through love and compassion and respect and honor. There's a good word, honor, isn't it? That's a great word. Matter of fact, we're going to be talking about it next week as we look at Memorial Day. What honor means. The principle of headship is critical and brings harmony to the home because the motive is this. The scripture says, as to the Lord. As to the Lord is the motive for submission. Submission does not mean subservient. Wives, submit to their husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Do you see a flow? Do you see a flow? And it all begins with life in Christ. And this is what turns everything upside down, because the world doesn't see it that way. The unsaved, they don't see it this way. They see this as some kind of archaic punishment, returning to the days where women were of no value. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ elevated women to the highest position possible, created in the image and likeness of him. But within that society, the Christian society, there has to be order. There has to be order. And it doesn't, we need to spend so much time talking about what all this means. But for some reason, we have been taught that equal means same. Equal does not mean same. We have different roles, we have different purposes, we have different assignments under the sovereign rule and purposes of God, and we're different. Wives, how many of you have noticed that your husband is different? We think differently, we function differently. But husbands, how many of you noticed that your wives are just a little bit different? Amen. When I come out in the morning and I've got on a particular pair of pants and a particular shirt, and my wife says, "Are you going to wear that today?" What is she saying? Go change, right? It's no big deal. They just communicate differently. I get it. Okay? And husbands, now we're going to get a little personal here, but husbands, if your wife comes out and she got on this dress or something, and she says, "Does this make my hips look wider than normal?" You're trapped, guys. You have no response to that. But folks, isn't that the beauty of creation? God created us differently, and we're to complement each other. We are to complete each other. You've heard me say this so many times, and allow me to repeat it. Wives, do not tell your husbands to get in touch with their feminine side. They will begin to look for something that they do not have, and it will drive them insane. The beauty of creation and marriage and union is that we complete each other. My wife is my feminine side. I am her masculine side. We together make one flesh. Amen. Why do people want to complicate that or even compromise it? It's the perfect plan because it's God's plan. All earthly relationships are secondary and follow the first and most important. Our relationship with Christ will rule in all other relationships. Regardless of that relationship, under consideration, the manner in which that relationship is carried out is with respect and honor for the Lord Jesus Christ. When there is biblical order in the home, Christ is glorified. Submission must not come as a result of fear, but as respect. Respect. Husbands, love your wives, and she probably will respect you. Secondly, the home is a taste of heaven when a godly husband understands biblical love. Biblical love. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives sacrificially. Sacrificially. And this is a command. For, you know, we look at the Bible a lot or too often as a book of suggestions, as one possible alternative out of a list of many. No, this is a command. Husband, submit to your, or wife, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wives. Do it. That's what God's saying. This is what you got to do. Do it. So we love our wives as Christ loves the church. And what was he willing to do for the church? Die for her. Die for her. So we love our wives sacrificially. Husbands, we're not number one. I want us to understand that. Men, we're not number one. Number one, first of all, is who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We must live under the lordship of Jesus Christ if we are going to be the headship in our family as the spiritual leaders. So we love our wives sacrificially. We must honor our lives. We must promote her virtues, not our desires. We also love our wives in a sanctifying love, leading our homes spiritually, preparing our homes for ultimate glory, praying for our lives and our wives, and we love with a satisfying love, spiritually, physically, meeting the needs of our home. So we love sacrificially, we love sanctifying, and we love in a satisfying way. A wife with a personal relationship with Christ and a Christ-modeling husband will have everything she needs to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you see the model? Do you think it's worth a try? As husbands and wives, we do not exist apart from Christ. We are each part of the body of Christ. The relationship between Christ and his church is typified in the human marriage relationship, something I always stress in a marriage ceremony. The model of a husband and wife standing there before the assembly, you're looking at an earthly example of a spiritual truth, Christ and his church, Christ and his bride. I can't think of any more beautiful way of beginning the covenant of marriage. Brothers and sisters, this is so important. This is so important for us to get the family, the home, the building block of a civilized society. And point number three, the home is a taste of heaven when children follow godly parents in biblical obedience. Do you see the pattern? When children see the parents modeling these spiritual truths, they're going to be more apt to walk in obedience. So important. If dad is not living and demonstrating biblical obedience, why should he expect his children to? If mom is not living and demonstrating biblical obedience, why should she expect her children to? So it flows down. Mom and dad, this is so incredibly important. We are to model Christ so our children can model us and come to know Christ through our love and obedience to him. Whew, I got to catch my breath. The scripture uses two important words for children: obey and honor. Two powerful words, powerful words: obey and honor. Obedience is the duty, honor is the disposition. In other words, obey is the command of duty, honor is the disposition with which we carry out the duty. Did I get that right? Yeah, I got that right. And it comes with a promise. Guess what? You get to live. Hey, you get to see tomorrow, kid. But really, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, obviously, in the context of the scripture, the Hebrew nation was going to inherit the land. And God is getting the family. What's these instructions? God is getting the family ready to enter the land. Why? Because the building blocks got to be in place. It all flows from the family. So children, obey your parents. Obey them. Moms and dads, please do not forsake discipline. Please do not forsake discipline and call it love. You see, love disciplines. God disciplines those whom he loves. Discipline is a critical part of our growing up, whether I'm 6 or 60. Discipline is a critical part of maturing and growing in Christ. Biblical discipline is an expression of love. Proverbs 3:12, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines those whom he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. You cannot expect an orderly society if there's no order in the home. Point number 4. The taste of heaven only exists when the Lord of heaven is Lord of our lives. It comes out of the work, out of the home into the workplace. Let's make current application of this. We're talking bond servants and masters and servants, supervisors, bosses. How do you treat your employees? Employees, how do you respond to your supervisors and those who are in charge over you? How do you treat those under your care, and how do you respect those who are over you in the workplace? The whole point of the text is accountability. Accountability. We're accountable to each other. Those in charge of others will give an account to the Lord for how they treat others, and servants serve, not just when someone is looking. I love the way the text reads, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service or as people pleasers. You know what? It's probably easier to behave when people are watching. Would you agree? What about when they're not watching? Yet we don't have to be told who is. And folks, it's how we live our lives in those moments. It's how we live our lives in those private moments. It's how we live our lives when nobody's watching except the Lord that is a true test of our love for him and our obedience to his word. That's the test. In my quiet times, in my alone times, what does my mind fix on? What is my heart searching for? It's in those times the Lord measures my obedience to him. As unto the Lord, the scripture says. Again, this all comes back to the Lord Jesus. Whether it is men, women, husbands, wives, children, laborers, bosses, the biblical order is Christ first in all things. We cannot expect our marriages to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ if I am not growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If my relationship isn't deepening with Christ on a daily basis, I can expect nothing of any value to occur in my home. It's so important, men, we have to understand this. And may I make an appeal to the wives too? Please pray for your husbands. Please pray for your husbands that they would be able, by the grace of God, to fulfill the calling that God has placed on their lives. It is such an important role. Church, we got to get this right. We got to get it right. There is a war being waged against the family. It is the primary satanic target. Why? Because it was designed by God. It represents His Son's relationship with all of us as the church. So the godless left, the radicals, I don't know who they are, have presented new models for the family. Or no model at all for the family. Mothers cannot be called mothers anymore. You're a birthing person. Now come on. I'm not joking. It happened on Mother's Day. People were offended by Mother's Day. Because it used a pronoun and nouns and all these other kind of things. Well, fathers, guess what? You can't be a father. You're a non-birthing person. Men cannot be called men. Boys cannot be called boys. Women, girls are not allowed to be used anymore. A marriage can exist in any form as any selfish, godless person or a person's desire. You can write your own rules. You can write your own parameters. You can be whatever you want to be. And it's all because they've forsaken God. They've forsaken God. And the new wave, and I don't say this laughing at people. It breaks my heart. I mean it. It crushes me. And I want them to understand that God's way is the only way. It's the right way. It's the pure way. It's the holy way. It's the joyful way. It's the thankfulness way. It's a way of hope and contentment, a way of peace. So I don't say it out of anger. I say it out of grief. The best choice today is to just be non-binary. And folks, I don't want us to hate these people. I don't want us to even be angry at people that are living in darkness. We need to speak the truth, but we need to speak the truth in love. In love. I had this conversation not too long ago with someone. Actually, it was this morning in Sunday school. I cannot, by the restraint of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, ever perform a wedding for anyone other than one man and one woman. I cannot, I would not. But I will try everything to minister to those who have established a relationship outside of God's plan. I'll share the truth. I'll share the truth in love. I'll tell them how much God loves them and how much better plan He has for their lives. But folks, it don't do any good to yell in their face. God loves them. And these models of people who are coming up with all this, and I'm sorry, this nonsense of non-gender terminology, it ought to break our hearts. It ought to grieve us that society has collapsed that far. That our culture has slipped into such an abyss. And could it be because the church has chosen to remain silent? And now all of a sudden we want to retaliate? No. Why don't we step up and lead? Why don't we step up and lead by example? You know, it's awful easy to criticize those who don't do it right and not live as a people who do it right. Today, I am asking, and that's not even a proper way of closing this, I believe God would have us to do this. Today, I'm going to ask the men to man up. I believe God wants us to man up, men. I believe God wants us to woman up, women. But most of all, I think God wants us to stand up. To stand up. To stand as people of truth, people of honor, people of love, people of grace, people who care about the lost, people who care about those who have bought into a misguided and inappropriate lifestyle. But let them know that they're loved. Don't just tell them we're wronged. Tell them about the love of Christ and how he can make things right and make things beautiful and make things holy and pleasing to him. We could go on, and it would be easy to do out of pure emotion and passion. But folks, it's time for the altar call. Today, will we man up? Today, will we woman up? Today, will we stand up? Not for our own pride or acknowledgement, but for the glory of God. That Christ may be exalted once again in our nation. Who do you think has the best plan? Really? Who has the best plan for marriage? Simple, isn't it? He designed it. And he knows how to make it work. Folks, I'm going to tell you, my marriage isn't what it needs to be yet. Because I'm not yet the man I need to be. By God's grace, I'll become him. I'll become him as we strive and push forward. But I'm not there yet. And don't you dare ask my wife. Just think how blessed she is to even have me. Connie and I just celebrated 49 years on Friday. And by way of this invitation, I can tell you, I know what it is to do it all wrong. I know what it is to have a marriage outside of Christ. So I can speak from experience. It's not good. It's not good. But I can tell you what it's like to have a marriage in Christ. And it's good. It's good. Not all that it should be yet. But Connie, if you're willing, we'll press on. Besides, I told Connie if she ever left me, I was going with her. Folks, we've hit some hard things this morning, but yet they're not really that hard, are they? You stay true to the Word of God. And all of Ephesians has been building up to this pinnacle. Everything that we learned in the first 4.5 chapters has brought us to this point. The personal application of the Word of God, the personal life and filled with the Spirit of God, it's all brought us to this point. And where did God take it? To the family. To the family. And God says, here's where it all begins. Because I made you, I created this institution as a reflection of my son and his bride. Wow. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. So we're just going to open the altars this morning for a time of prayer, a time of recommitment. You may do that right where you're at. But I really believe that biblically, if we man up, woman up, stand up, the cities in which we live could look a little different. Could look a little different. Father, thank you for the time that we've had. Thank you for your word. Yes, it is sharper than a double-edged sword on many things. but it's right and it's true and it's best always because it's yours, yours, given to us to help us know your desire, your will, your plan for our lives. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. And God, I want to say, even in this prayer, we got to be careful that we don't beat ourselves up and just think everything's hopeless and I've messed up and I've made too many mistakes, I've gone too far. I know your grace is greater than all of that. You are a God of healing, a God who restores, a God who can make things new all over again. So we put the past behind us and we look with great enthusiasm into our tomorrows. Thank you for your promises and your faithfulness to us. In Jesus' name.